acclaimed integrative medicine expert, Dr. Holly Lucille.
Think well, act well, be well.
Inherently you.
Folks, yes, this is Dr. Holly Lucille here at the Inherently You podcast. And the name of this podcast is actually Promoting a National Culture of Wellness. I cannot wait to talk to our guest because it's sort of what I'm about, especially with my new community, Inherently You, because I want people sort of, I've always been passionate about the individual wellness for each and every person. And it doesn't mean that there's metrics that you have to hit fat, skinny. It's just that people are being well inside, that they're thinking incongruent with their desires, and their actions are all lined up, and they feel good at the end of the day. And I know that there's a lot going on these days when it comes to healthcare, and that's why we're trying to get power to the people. But I have Dr. John Newport. He's an incredible man. He's an author, speaker, commentator, and outspoken advocate for healthcare reform. And we need to talk about this quite a bit. All right, he holds a doctorate in health services and psychology with a background spanning 50 years in healthcare policy analysis, health services administration, and wellness advocacy. As an author, he has published 4 books, including the best-selling Wellness Recovery Connection, and over 300 articles and opinions focusing on healthcare issues, addictions, and wellness promotion. Dr. Newport, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Holly. It's my pleasure to be here.
I mean, what a background! I read your piece in the Arizona Capital Times. It was a column that you wrote, and you state that most Americans have abrogated responsibility for their health and are entrenched in highly toxic lifestyles. I thought this, first of all, the sentence was, it captured my attention so much. Because it feels like it says so much there, because I 100% agree with you. But can you elaborate on this?
I'm sorry, do I know what?
I said, can you elaborate on this?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be glad to. And, you know, at first glance to your listeners, this might sound that my statement is kind of paradoxical, because I'm well aware that in areas like L.A. and Arizona, you know, we're constantly bombarded by media blitzes on healthy lifestyles. However, I submit that in reality, we have a rather narrowly defined wellness culture that primarily consists of the affluent and upper middle class segments of our population.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is, I believe that most Americans are caught up in struggling for survival within the context of a highly stressful, materially oriented and super performance oriented society. They simply don't take the time to properly take care of themselves in terms of diet, exercise, and truly enjoying the qualitative aspects of life. Therefore, they end up, by default, abrogating responsibility for their health to our medical system, which I contend is essentially not a true healthcare system.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. You know, I created this community, and we're just getting started, called Inherently You, because it was all about, for me, what I had noticed in my 16, 17 years of practice now, that, as you say, this sort of media blitz of wellness and health information out there, now more than ever. And then you've got things like wearables and apps and programs to help you stay on track with this, that, or the other thing when it comes to living a healthy lifestyle. But what I see in the stats are chronic health issues continuing to be on the rise, and as well, Americans not being able to even meet just the most simplest of healthcare goals and desires. So not being able to lose the weight that they want to lose, not being able to drop those cholesterol numbers in more of a safe range. And so for me, I started scratching my head. I'm like, where is this disconnect? And so I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And then you also mentioned that as a culture, we are addicted to high-end medical services. Tell me more about that.
Sure, I'll be glad to, Dr. Holly. You know, I'm coming from a background largely in public health. I worked at UCLA School of Public Health for many years as a research associate. Later on, went on to get my doctorate there. And, I believe that our healthcare system is really kind of wired backwards in terms of empowering people to take charge of their health. You know, it blows my mind that over half of all of our resources in healthcare are poured into treating the 5% of the population that constitutes the sickest of the sick. Now, I would also add to that that although we spend, I believe, close to $4 trillion a year in this country on health care, yet our average life expectancy ranks far behind that of many other industrialized nations that spend far, far less in healthcare than we do. And I suspect that it's the lifestyles that make a lot of the difference here. Now, driving home to the healthcare system, I believe, Dr. Holly, we have a highly profit-dominated sickness care system rather than a true healthcare system. And in terms terms of the system's basic financial underpinnings, hospitals, drug companies, manufacturers of high-end medical equipment, and, I hate to say, many doctors are financially incentivized to wait until people are very sick before stepping in.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say that, you know, spending $4 trillion a year and then being where we're at from a healthcare perspective, people talk about return on investment, right, all the time. And I think that's a pretty poor ROI, if you would say. It does make you shake your head. And, you know, I 100% agree with you. And I have often said, you know, being a naturopathic doctor, even though I feel like I have a really incredible, expensive, and extensive education, and certainly I've taken boards and I'm licensed as a primary care doctor here in California, and naturopathic doctors are licensed throughout 20-some other states to practice within their scope of practice in that state. And, you know, we've always said, because we're just simply looking to use the least invasive methods to diagnose and treat. Diet lifestyle interventions are huge on the least invasive methods. You know, that's one of the most important things in our therapeutic order. And I've always said, and certainly my colleagues, when we've gone in to fight for licensure in a state and or working with the NIH, that there seems to be no money in wellness. And I think that's where part of this problem is, and we see it certainly all the time, that, you know, it's I see it actually in just in the way I run my practice and choose to not monetize things like supplements. That can be sometimes, you know, a conflict of interest. Or if you get reimbursed in a way for running lab tests, simple things that take the real true care out of looking at a person and listening to their story and having a critical thought process with good clinical acumen and thinking things through with them so they can, you know, so we can understand what's in the way of their self, you know, inherent healing abilities and help them get well. So it's very, very frustrating. I'm sure that you would probably agree.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I hate to say it, but I've been living here in Tucson, a wonderful place, for the last 6 years. And man, over this short period of time, I am seeing highly skilled, highly caring doctors leaving their professions in droves, sadly taking early retirements because they just can't handle the disincentives to provide truly caring, holistic patient care within the way the current healthcare system, at least in this town, is evolving. And it's very sad.
It is very sad. And, you know, oftentimes I tell my patients that come in sort of complaining about the reductionistic paradigm or some of the things that you're talking about regarding the healthcare system and that they get caught in and certainly entrenched in and abrogate to, that, you know, don't blame your doctor. Sometimes that they are truly just working within the confines of their scope, first of all, and that they are working within the confines of what they have set up from a business model. And what I do is instead of blaming anybody, I encourage patients to take more responsibility and go out and get that second opinion. Or because I think there's value in all systems of medicine, right? We obviously have this reductionistic Western allopathic medicine that is driving our current healthcare system. But I do like to empower patients to just go, you know what? Because there are other modalities that are there, other systems of medicine that I think can be helpful. But I want to ask you this question. So in your article, you actually underscore your belief that as a nation, we must transform our current system into a true healthcare system. So healthcare, and not a sick care system, right? That fully empowers both healthcare professionals that are, in my opinion, are in a service industry, right? And also citizens to work together to enable everyone to take charge of their health. I want to know, brass tacks, how do you propose that that be accomplished?
You've raised an excellent question, and getting your head around and answer that question is kind of a complicated process. In short, I think what we need, Dr. Holly, is both a bottom-up and a top-down approach, and I will elaborate on what I mean by that. In terms of coming up through the ranks, so to speak, as Americans, I believe that we must speak up and demand that our healthcare system place a true emphasis on health promotion, teaching people to take care of themselves and helping them to obtain the necessary tools to do this. Now, getting at the top-down level, you know, especially since we now have a whole new federal administration, I firmly believe that at the national level, our newly elected president and his administration should, in my opinion, be brave enough to issue a clarion call to wellness as a key plank of the administration's proposed health care reform strategy. Whether that not that will happen is a big question, but anyhow, that's what I would, you know, if I had an hour with Donald Trump, that's what I would strongly suggest. And I'd pound his desk as I was talking about that.
Right.
You know, actually, to go one step further, I think our nation's citizens both need and deserve a presidential mandate to transform our current profit-dominated sickness care system into a true health care system with a heart, a system which doctors and other health professionals will work together with their patients, as well as with our educational system, and as well as with the nation's employers, the workplace, and rank-and-file citizens to motivate everyone to fully embrace a wellness lifestyle. It can be done, but boy, we need a real, real massive paradigm shift in order to accomplish this.
We certainly do, and I mean, I think if there's one thing that our new president has done, well, there's a lot of things that he's done, but it's certainly mobilized people to take action and to really think about the things that they want and that are important to them. And I think awareness is coming, probably maybe not in the best form or energetic sense, but it's being done. And I'm hoping that some of these movements, I think people, especially low income, everybody deserves a true, to afford and to have access to really good healthcare, as you say, with a heart, where people are thinking through things truly. It's not, you know, I've often said about medicine sometimes that, in my opinion, hey, it's not rocket science. Listen, I have had so many cases where people walk in, we clean up what we can from an environmental perspective, from their diet, lifestyle, and they start to feel better. They decrease their risk for diseases as they age, and not rocket science. Now, endocrinology, there's some things where I feel like the devil's in the details and you have to kind of get in there and really poke around and have a good sleuth hat on. But I think people truly need to be cared for, and they're not, and it is expensive. It's an expensive system, and it's daunting when you know that increase in more are going
that
up.
That is for sure. You know, if I could at the moment, kind of like
please,
focus on this low income segment population you alluded to.
Sure.
And the solution to these folks, helping them fully embrace a wellness lifestyle, particularly in terms of the qualitative aspects of life, I think this goes actually far beyond the confines of the healthcare system as we know it. I mean, we're talking about people living in communities where I think a large part of the reason why they don't get adequate exercise is the parks and other places where we normally go for recreation just are not safe. I remember as a young man working in the Brooklyn Hospital in the heart of New York City, and we had Prospect Park right behind a hospital. Beautiful park, but boy, don't walk through it. You're taking your life in your hands.
Sure.
I mean, this is what these people are up against.
Yeah, I hear you there. I mean, so lots of work to be done, I think, from a holistic view of safety. And I think Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know? are you going to even just feel safe mm-hmm. in your home and in the place that you're at? So you have such an extensive background.
Thank you.
Can you share with me and the listeners what influences in your own life and your career in the healthcare services have prompted you to become an outspoken advocate for wellness-oriented healthcare reform?
Dr. Holly, I'll be happy to do that. Let's start way, way, way back when I was in my mid-20s. I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, guy with a new master's degree in health administration out there to solve all the problems of the world, so to speak. And at that time, now this is back in the mid-60s, I saw a very, very disparate healthcare system where there was very, very little, if any, coordination and a lot of duplication. So I took my first job as a planning associate with an area-wide hospital planning council back in Chicago, where we were working, our mission was to help the hospitals coordinate their efforts to provide the best care for people at a much more reasonable cost. And that was good, but then as I went on, when I became a research associate in healthcare policy analysis at the UCLA School of Public Health, I began to realize, we used to say what we need is equal access to medical care for all, and I still firmly believe that. But it goes beyond that, because I became more and more convinced that the medical system that we had at that time was missing so many, many, many integral components of truly helping mm-hmm. people to stay healthy in the true sense of the word. And
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like, so then I, yeah, in fact, it's interesting. My doctoral dissertation at UCLA in health services actually focused on evolving holistic health center prototypes, many of which were located up in the Bay Area at that time. And I was intrigued by the fact that I was able to pull in substantial federal grant support, because the feds were really interested in, hey, what's going on with these alternatives? Maybe we've got something to learn here. So I was kind of like boasted by that, and then I got a job teaching at a university where they wanted a wellness-oriented health educator. And that made me take a good hard look at my own wellness. Am I really practicing what I preach? And so I started making some major shifts in my own life in terms of meditation, fine-tuning my diet, getting into a good regular exercise program. Again, not rocket science, but, stuff you need to do if you're really, really wellness-oriented. So that's kind of like some of the influences that have led me to become an outspoken advocate for wellness.
I love it, and I'm certainly happy for those influences, because we need you and so many others. I have to tell you, and I want to ask you this question. I hope it comes out the way that I want it to. So I am... excuse me. You and I are sharing our clearing of the throat today.
Yeah, I should share my glass of water with you.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm the daughter of two pharmacists. I grew up, and my father climbed the corporate ladder of one of the largest pharmaceutical companies at the time. And, mm-hmm. you know, what do you do? Because I think when I have this conversation across the board with folks, you know, about the sick care system versus truly implementing a wellness, system and encouraging people to take charge of their health, it seems overwhelming to me that the profit, and the profits from big pharma, it really plays a huge role in sustaining this healthcare system that seems to be broken as far as truly taking care of people, mm-hmm. or encouraging people to take care of themselves and getting them the prevention is the cure, sort of another naturopathic principle in there. I was at a conference the other week, and there was some incredible literature, some evidence-based literature on bioidentical hormones that was being shared. And one of the points that the professor who was teaching us was bringing up that because that this wasn't standard, because in some of the organizations that are tied to the conventional Western allopathic medical community, their grants are and they're supported by a large pharmaceutical company that actually makes a competing product. Yeah. Now I'm going to leave all those names very vague because I'm sort of paraphrasing here, but we hear this all the time. Well, how do you combat that? That to me, those pockets are so deep and there's so much corruption. How can we not only spread awareness, increase people's ability to understand the need to take care of themselves, but how do you combat that?
You know, just off the top of my head, one of the things I'm flashing on is at the workplace is a good place to start. Reason I say that is way back in the mid-80s, I was the worksite wellness coordinator one of California's top 10 HMOs. And I'd love to go out to companies and, you know, mingle with the workers and, you know, do seminars on stress management, the nutritional side of wellness and so forth. And, I find that people in the workplace tend to be quite receptive to this type of thing. It's kind of like they look upon it as an added perk that shows, hey, this employer cares about me. Mm-hmm. And here in the city government in Tucson, I have to say that they have a... I'm sorry. I'm at the county government, Pima County government. They have an excellent employee wellness system where they have speakers coming in all the time, giving, you know, talks on various topics of wellness. They have a self-funded health insurance program that incentivizes people to stay well. They kind of like, you know, give people a health risk appraisal. If you're doing really good in that health risk appraisal, your premium goes down. You know, really neat stuff.
So it's kind of that same idea as just, you know, continue to work globally, work locally, do what you can at that level that you can make a direct change to an employee, you know, smaller corporations and smaller businesses, incentivizing people. I think that's great. And then thinking locally. So it takes a village, obviously, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it sure does. It sure does. That's what I meant when I was talking about this bottom-up approach. I mean, I think it's, I hope it doesn't sound too corny, but we the people have really got to start banding together, looking for ourselves and making our voices heard by the leaders of the corporations, by the government leaders, etc.
Yeah. So listen, what can you tell people to do? First of all, how can people get a hold of you?
Oh, okay. I will give out my email address.
Excellent.
That address is Healing Tucson. Healing, like healing a wound, Healing Tucson, which, by the way, is spelled T-U-C-S-O-N.
Yes.
HealingTucson@hotmail.com. I would love to hear from listeners their response to this.
Great. And then if people could do one thing to to get on board with this movement of changing the way that our healthcare system is, what would you tell them to do?
What I'm flashing on is I would say, you know, the old saying, physician, heal thyself. I would say, patient, heal thyself. Each of us individually, Holly, we've got to start with ourselves in terms of really looking at, now from a holistic standpoint, I believe health includes basic things like, are we fulfilling our central purpose in this life? If not, why not? And maybe we have to take a series of many steps towards getting more alignment with that purpose. Because you look throughout history, people have had a strong central purpose in life. They're the ones that live long, long lifespans. And I don't think that is just a coincidence by any means. So yeah, I think the one thing to do is start with yourself. Do I have a tire around my waistline? That type of stuff.
So, you know, I've always said, so this internal locus of control, have that first, because we're so driven externally right now, even though we have so many ways to stay connected. Yes, internal locus of control. Dr. John Newport, you're my new hero. Thank you so much.
Dr. Holly, I hope I have the opportunity to talk with you again sometime in the future.
I would love that. This is all about promoting a national culture of wellness. Dr. John Newport, you can also look at his website at wellnessandrecovery.com. Thank you so much for listening, folks. You can go over to iTunes and rate this podcast so we can grow this community and keep encouraging each other to be well. Take care of yourselves and each other. And this is Dr. Holly signing off. I'll talk to you soon.